Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I see it in practice. Practice preparation eventually equals game reality. And that was closer to what I've been seeing every day in practice, as opposed to what we've been giving to you sometimes on the weekends, right? You got to go out there and execute. The guys got to go out there and play. But you can definitely look forward to seeing more Troy. You can definitely look forward to seeing more Caden. You can definitely look forward to seeing more of those guys come in, Nate Landman, or whatever the case may be, along with the outside backers and the inside people that rush for us, are just giving more production off how they play and the way they're going to go about their business. I feel really good about the guys that we have, and I have for a while. And I was happy to see some of the results come out so everybody else can see it as well.
That was Falcons coach Raheem Morris joining our Dukes and Bell, talking about the Falcons' potential and maybe getting more sacks on the season, how they can do it, how he's confident in his guys. They had a total of 6 going into their game against the Cowboys, and they got 3 alone in their game against the Cowboys. So it's mostly had in the game all season.
Sprinkle a little bit of that magic sauce. You know what I mean? Just say you got to keep working.
I guess my mind is going rapid fire. First off, I learned a lot from that interview yesterday with Raheem and Dukes and Bell. If you're not listening to that, it does happen different times. Some days, yesterday it was early, but Wednesdays you should be tuned. Well, you should be tuned into our radio station all day, every day, but especially on Wednesdays, those guys are up there.
I'll give you a tip really quick. You can set notifications on the Odyssey app to get notified when that interview is going to happen.
Oh,
so,
boom.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Because I learned a lot. There's multiple things I learned from that interview yesterday. But me and a buddy of mine, Phil, were texting about the Falcons not adding someone at the deadline. What is, and I think the Rams still own the rights to Aaron Donald, but would Aaron Donald come out of retirement to play for a contender late in the season?
Him and Raheem had a good relationship out there.
We don't know what shape he's in.
Let me tell you. Hold on. No.
Well, tell me something.
I'm gonna tell you something.
Let me go look at his Instagram. First off, workouts.
Aaron Donald is a freak.
I agree.
And I would take 40% in shape Aaron Donald over 90% 90% of the rest of the NFL defensive line.
What I will say, and not to crush your dreams, but in the media last season, ahead of, you know, when he was going into what would be his last season, his eyes were lighting up just talking about getting to have time with his family, getting to spend time with his kids. He was even reflecting on the moment with the confetti falling after winning a Super Bowl with some of his children on the field. So just to put that out there. But I know maybe you're home. Maybe you're sitting out this season and maybe you're thinking,
Coach Rock,
I got that itch. Maybe I want to come back.
I wanted
to say that.
Not him in particular, but I will say the hardest part by far of being an NFL football player is getting through training camp. Like that is – without question, the biggest hump. And that was, you know, you saw Tony at the end of his career. I've joked about it on here. He's like, tell Thomas Dimitroff, I'll come back, man, but I ain't coming to training camp. Like, I'll see y'all when that's over. Y'all can have that training camp, and I'll see you after that. And obviously, you know, that would be, but no, nah, man. He didn't, no.
And your question as to whether or not he's still in shape, I just went to his Instagram. Dude's still jacked. So
yeah.
Just wanted to go ahead and
I'm sure he is.
So maybe there's.
I'm sure he is.
It's not like Aaron Donald just gained like 90.
I mean, I meant the other way.
If you sit around for
too small,
you know, some guys coming out of it, and you could probably speak to this too. You like to keep your routine that you had in terms of just at least being able to go to. Are you saying you didn't? You were
No, this is completely. I don't want to pull a bow here, but he and I were talking about this before the show. We went to a golf tournament Friday, John Parlow's golf tournament, and they had comedians on a hole where you would tip somebody to roast other people, like people in your
group.
I know, it was awesome.
Yeah,
so I dropped 20. I was like, "Hey, can you roast Bo over there?" He started roasting Bo, or she started roasting Bo. There's two of them, and then I get up there and she started roasting me, and she was so spot. She goes, "Look at this guy. Look at Toby Beef up here."
she said,
"You look like you had to take the day off from a training camp somewhere." And I just started laughing because she didn't know me from Adam, and I was like, "Yeah, joke's on you for that one."
I'll take that
as a compliment.
Yeah, she didn't know the history because she also said because this guy was an injury away from playing a high school injury away from playing in the NFL, and I was like, and I just want to be like,
everybody was like, "Oh."
I looked over at my neighbor played with us, and I looked over at AB, and I said, "This guy suffered the worst training camp injury I've ever seen in covering 16 years."
It was so funny, though. But, to get back on track, I started thinking about that.
I was going to get off track.
No, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's a social media trend where people are filming their significant others, their friends, or whoever, and they're calling them out. So they're acting as if it's a police pursuit, and they're saying, "Suspect described as this." So it might say, and I'm not gonna do anybody in this room, but it would say, "Suspect says... they've been working out for like the past year, but no one's seeing any results." So, or you'll take personal things. A wife was talking about her husband, like, "Suspect swears that he washes his clothes, but I see him wear the same shirt like 20 times." So, I thought about how we could do something like that without hurting feelings here, but I don't know how you could convey it.
I'm all for it.
Without the video of people running, it's pretty fun.
Well, I was going to say, have you seen the social media trend where, and my wife showed it to me, she was like, "Check this out." And it was like when you realize you've never seen your friends run at full speed. So
yes.
They videotape each other running full speed. And they're like, it's all so awkward
people
to watch your
sprinting.
Friends. Like, it's like 30 years old running full speed.
They have no athletic ability.
Yeah.
We used to live when I was just out of high school, we had a buddy that stayed in downtown. And they would put up in our hometown of Dallas. And they would put up those speed signs.
Yeah.
That would tell you how fast you're going.
Like the movie The Rookie.
I did see that.
We used to run it. We used to run it those.
There's also office.
I was like, there ain't no way I'm running 16 miles an hour. Michael, there ain't no way.
Michael runs by it at the same time as a car goes 40 and he thinks he's the fastest man.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one looks like you always, like I always think I look good running and then nobody looks unless you're
running.
Like an Olympian and you're on
seriously.
The track.
Or a wide receiver. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you.
Back to the Falcons who, now I was going to make an attempt at trying to connect the dots there, but it just doesn't work.
No, it's not worth it.
Hey, they got to the quarterback. That involves running, and they got to the quarterback against the Cowboys over the weekend. Kind of. So, anyway, they had three sacks, okay? For all the talk about a team that, yes, was at the bottom of the league when it comes to that category. Well, Coach Raheem Morris, again, on Dukes and Bell, he talked about Caden Ellis's potential of getting some more sacks.
There's no doubt. I believe he's leading all inside linebackers with pressures and he's some crazy rush stat. Again, stats, right? You guys go dig those things up and talk about it. But
it's right.
He's doing some really good things rushing the quarterback. We just hadn't got some of the results of the sacks and things of that nature. But last week getting a sack, recording that. Last week having 13 tackles. I believe he hit the quarterback. It felt like 9 times.
Yeah.
But he was all over the place for us. And that's how you want to play. That's the vision you have from day one. But I tell you what, you don't have to peak in this league right at the beginning, right? You want to peak as we're going. And as you hit this stretch run, it's start to figure out who you really are.
I wonder how bad Mike and Carl didn't want to drop stats are for losers.
Stats don't matter, Coach.
It is important to look at every now and then. He mentioned kind of peaking, and that's just what Caden is. And I think that it's important. We talked, how many times have we talked, guys, about putting Dwayne Ledford in this offensive line and the position they need to be successful. This is an offensive line that was built around wide zone. We talked about it. It's what Arthur Smith wanted. It's the reason this was such a highly ranked offensive line. They do one thing very, 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 very well, right? They've started to mold themselves into a better pass protecting unit. We talked Monday or Tuesday, I did, about Caleb McGarry and how much better he has looked at pass protection this year. I think we've got to start doing that a little bit defensively. When you talk about how Ryan Nielsen was able to drum up pressures last year, right, using twist games, not necessarily using edge stunts, but Calais, Bud Dupree, using some of these stunts, using Caden Ellis walked up, being able to get the back shoulder pad on the twist stunts. Why can't we do what we're doing on offense? Why can't we start to utilize some of that defensively and putting these guys in positions they're comfortable with and what has worked for them in the past?
I think he did a lot of that last week. I agree. I think it might have been the most I've seen all season last week just by doing what I do every week, which is, you know, working the games and spotting for Wes along with producing. I'm watching offensive line at times, but also I'm watching the quarterback and basically where the ball is. And I saw a lot of guys twisting and moving and stunting. But I think it's easier to do that with what they wanted, the way they want to play in the secondary, when you have a guy like Troy Anderson back and you can use Caden Ellis in maybe times to give Judon a break from the edge rush. Maybe, you know, you use D'Angelo Malone quite a bit. I thought D'Angelo Malone, I saw some negative comments on Twitter about him. I don't know what the hell those people were watching, because I saw him play, and I'm not saying that he was getting home, but he was putting a ton of effort. He sniffed out. He made a phenomenal read on a screenplay and brought it down for a loss, which was one of those plays that if he doesn't sniff that out, that's a play that goes for a good game. The game looks differently.
Yeah. Can I give you another guy too that jumped out to me? Because I'm completely on board with what you're saying about D'Angelo Malone a week ago. And I think that there's a lot of upside and you want to get Matthew Judon going, but at a certain point you watch and what you see on the film doesn't match anything you thought you were getting preseason. And it's just, there's a lot of different reasons for it, but just point blank, when you turn on, you contrast he and D'Angelo Malone, D'Angelo Malone's just giving you not a ton more output. I don't want to put it like that, but he can just tell that it means a lot to him to be put in those situations. You also had Damon Harris that was kind of slid into the three technique role sometimes. I don't know if that's because Grady exits or whatever it may be. A guy we have not talked about, that we talked about a lot at the end of last year, Kentavious Street, who's been back in with Ruka Rororo being injured. I thought Kentavious Street had a number of good reps, violent reps with his hands and head slapping and everything else going on up front. I thought he came in with some fresh legs, able to do some things. So you have to be able to match energy level, right, and effort with what you need on the field in terms of the players at those positions. And I think that Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake are trying to find that fine line with some of these guys. But you can tell that they are making a concerted effort to put guys up to bat and say, what can you do in these pass rushing situations?
Well, it's an interesting point about Street. I noticed a little bit as well. He's also a guy that I kind of feel like, I don't want to use the phrase he got benched, but I didn't think he played well the first couple of weeks.
Nope.
And then you make the change on Thursday night, which was what? It was the fifth game of the season. You say, you know what? Because you're 3-1, you're going into the fifth game of the season on the Bucks game. You're going, oh, we're going to put the rook in there. And Kentavious Street was the guy that got was deactivated because of that on those game days. He gets back in due to Rook's injury in the last 2 weeks. I think you're right. He has played well.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Why did the Falcons not pursue a pass rusher before the NFL trade deadline? That will be answered for you in our 8 o'clock hour. But up ahead here, from the bench to a rebound, what quarterback is now resurging after what looked like a dismal start to the season for him and his team? We're going to get you the latest NFL headlines next when we go In the Huddle on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network.
Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Number one overall draft pick was Bryce Young for the Panthers, and he was benched earlier this season, if you recall, but has since been reinstated into the starting lineup, and he will yet again get a third consecutive start against the Giants this week. That, according to his head coach, Dave Canales. So they felt like he has finished games well that he's been playing in so far, and he's going to get another shot at being the starting quarterback for that team.
Yeah, and I think it's probably fair to him and fair to the rest of his team. I thought before Tuesday we would see him get moved. You just don't see these kind of things end well, right? And if you've been around it forever, you don't normally see a guy with that much hype who has put that much on his shoulders that early in his career and then get benched and then come back and it'd be like a Cinderella story. You just don't see that very often. And so I thought he'd be moved. He's not. He gets another crack at kind of holding it down there as a number one pick and not being a huge bust. But, man, I still think with the team around him, he's kind of up against it.
They came back and pulled off the win against New Orleans. And so in those two previous starts ahead of the one that he's getting now, he's thrown three touchdown passes, three picks, but he's averaging just over 197 yards passing a game and also completing just over 63% of his passes with a 77.1 passer rating.
If I asked you on November 7th, 2024, to tell me which player, which former top five NFL draft pick quarterback from the 2023 class between Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson would have the better NFL career, who would you say? Who would you go with long term?
Ask that again.
So between Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young, two top five draft picks who have now been benched from the 2023 draft class, which one, if you had to say a forecast for the future, which one would you give? Say that that's the guy that'll have the better NFL career. Doesn't mean that they start 15 years and do anything. They just are in the league longer and looked at as the more successful of the two players.
And this is not, I don't personally know either player. I've not sat in a meeting with Anthony Richardson. I did have a meeting with Bryce Young last season. Just based on, and I hate to even say this, the clips that we saw, it does seem like Bryce Young handled being benched like textbook Tiffany's PR for what you would want your client to do and to say publicly. I feel like he handled that really well. Not to say Anthony Richardson didn't, but I might have told him, hey, don't tell people that you're tired in games. Might have given him some of that advice. But so just on that alone, if we're just talking about that, because I like to play it safe here. But I think that Bryce Young set himself up for success. And the numbers that I read aren't, mind-boggling or anything like that,
sure.
But it's better than where he was
improvement.
To start the season.
And Anthony Richardson right now is completing 44% of his passes this season. That'd be such a good segment. Every time somebody said something, misspoke, now it's time for Tiffany's PR segment.
Yeah, Tiffany's PR.
What you should have said.
Here's what I will say. I think that Bryce Young... First of all, this is a hard spot for him starting this weekend. You just traded two of your top four wide receivers.
Also, I forgot about that minor detail.
No, but I think that when you look at what Bryce Young is, and he was known as this cerebral quarterback that processes and understands the game. I don't know that he'll ever just take flight the way a Joe Burrow or some of these other top draft picks do. But I could see him having a Sam Darnold-esque resurgence somewhere when he gets in a run-heavy scheme that
Geno
he can
Smith.
Build off play action. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
If maybe an Andy Dalton type career. That's which is crazy to say, but he's Lord. I mean, he's 14 years in. He's had a pretty good run at it. So I do think that there's a lot of upside to Bryce, and I think there's a lot to be said in the NFL about your teammates liking you.
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot to say about coaches liking you and everybody else and knowing that you're going to get their best effort. I just think that he hasn't been put in the best situation right now, and I don't think even when he was put in good situations that he has flourished.
Make no mistake, longevity at the quarterback position in NFL, whether it's a starter or a backup, is it equals a good career. Do not mistake it, because there's only two per team, here and there. You know, three, I guess you could say three now. Yeah, no one looks at Chase Daniels and says, what a failure.
Right.
They go, holy crap, that guy was in the league for like 20 years. It's, he like, made like look, $150
in
million.
In my
dollars.
Next life, I want to come back as a fired head coach that signed like a mega deal and got fired after the first year of like a five-year deal, which we know doesn't happen, but still.
Like a Kevin Sumlin,
or I would come back as a backup quarterback.
Yeah, the only problem is, Tiff, when that quarterback goes down, grabs his ankle or something, then all of a sudden, and you're taking that dip out of your lip and throwing it on the ground. You're going,
it's the scene from Varsity Blues.
Who's the dude on the Chiefs that always when Patrick Mahomes has been out like with ankle or whatever?
They've changed it now. Now it's Carson Wentz. Yes. It used to be. I think it was it not.
Daniels was with the Chiefs for a while.
I'll find his name, but he stepped in, got some wins. It was even during the playoffs.
Yeah. It's just playoffs. It's like that. I'm going to go to 2022.
I want to be him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, take the mouth.
I think Dan Orlovsky's living a pretty good life. You know, he was that guy, right? He was like that guy for a really long time in the NFL.
It's that old moment from Varsity. You're talking about Chad Henne.
Chad Henne.
It's the old moment from Varsity Blues where they hand, you know, what's the starting quarterback goes out and they like shove the ball in Mox's gut and he's just standing there like, like blank stare.
The was it Charlie Whitehurst?
Yeah,
Matt Flynn did it for a long time, man. Those guys, and those are point we were making earlier. Those are professional decisions. Like, you trust a backup quarterback that is going to dive into the playbook and be ready when his number is called.
There was a quarterback. I'm not going to give the name, and I'm not going to give the name of the person that said this to me. But there was a quarterback that played for the Falcons years ago when I first started doing the games. That was a backup, he never played. But somebody looked at me and said, if that guy goes in, we're in trouble.
Oh, dang.
Yikes.
You were on the team. I'll tell you who later off the air. I'm not going to say it on the air, but I go, you think so? He said, look at him. I go, oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Panthers and Giants will be in Munich in Germany for that NFL game this weekend. So I know it's going to be a good weekend.
Turn on the TV
off,
and it's going.
I can wake up Sunday and
I like it when I'm not there.
Injury update for you with the Jags, and Jacksonville fell to 2-7 on the season after that loss to Philadelphia. And every time I think about it, all I'm thinking about is Saquon hurtling backwards over people. But anyway, I digress. Trevor Lawrence may not be able to go for them this weekend in what will be week 10. So he was limited in practice leading up to their matchup that they're going to have against the Minnesota Vikings with an upper body injury he is battling.
Fantasy managers, go ahead and see if you can catch a flyer on Mac Jones this weekend, right? Ready to throw the pill all around the yard. This is why you go trade for a guy like Mac Jones from New England. I have to wonder, and just hearing that news, the first thing that pops in my head is Doug Peterson the next domino to fall in the NFL? Because it's just been as ugly as you can think in terms of that team and the money that's thrown around. It just seems like no matter what they do in Jacksonville, they cannot get it pointed in the right direction right now.
Yeah, shit. And I think the
traded his left tackle.
I think the head coach is gone. I think he's gonna. I think the time
more
is run out.
In
yeah, I
Jacksonville
do.
Again.
It's just so stale.
How many? So Trevor Lawrence would have had, because he just had Urban Meyer, right?
He had Urban Meyer. Yeah, his first year.
So okay.
And then this is year three, I believe, under Doug Peterson, because this is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Tiff, I think that it can be taken as a negative that he might have another head coach. I wonder if you asked him if he didn't think it was a positive, because at a certain point, the quarterbacks get fed up too. And when you look at how he struggled, We all know he's a good quarterback. And I think when you start looking at the way Trevor Lawrence has been able to deliver the ball down the field usually in his career, and then you start looking at how he kind of matches up seemingly with Doug Peterson's system, it's like, ah.
But imagine him in Bobby Slowick's system.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I mean.
Because I think Doug Peterson.
Or even a Clint Kubiak.
Because I wonder, you said, we use the word stale. Doug Peterson's system is, it seems, it feels, it just. You know, people are going to blame Trevor Lawrence, and look, he shares some of the blame. He hasn't played great at times either, but I just feel like you could be so much more creative with him.
It just, it seems archaic at times, which, Lord knows, ours does too every now and then, but Kirk Cousins has taken it full on and made it his own. But, man, yeah, I have to think that a guy like Trevor Lawrence is like, you know what, this is probably needs to end soon.
One NBA rookie has notched his name in his franchise's history. Hint, hint, he plays for the Hawks. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. We have a mic'd up ahead.
Yeah, we got a mic'd up. One of my favorite athletes of all time is hanging up his gloves this weekend. I'll spend about 2 minutes running it back and making sure y'all know how great this man actually is. That's coming up on the other side. Mic'd up, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
I hope these New York fans find their way to the exit real, real quick. Ooh, take out the tone.
That was hilarious. That was Trey Young post-game after the Hawks rallied to beat the Knicks 121-116 at home. Young, by the way, hit 23 points, but how about Zachary Richey, the rookie there, with 33 points. He is He is the youngest player in Hawks history. The first and youngest with a 30-point game.
Thank you. I will say this. Nothing brings me closer to Trey Young than his petty hate for
awesome,
the Knicks.
Dude.
Because
I love that.
As all of you know that listen, if you're new to the show, I'm Bo, I'm Squid, I'm petty, very much so. I love his petty hatred for the Knicks, and it's deserved, by the way, ding. Their fan base screamed obscene things at him, spit on him. They deserve all of the hate he has towards them, but I'm here for every single bit of his pettiness towards them.
Yeah.
But I think for the first time, his time frame as an Atlanta Hawk, there's a legitimate big three that he's a part of.
So
due to what Tiff just read the stats for Richey,
yeah,
his first either 4-5, his first 9 games, kid has gotten better and better and better.
Yeah.
So you don't like when people say mean things. Just want that.
No. I like when people. I enjoy it, but don't. Say disgusting things and spit on me and then expect me not to take out all of my hatred on you. And I'm speaking as I'm Trey Young. Like, I think that Trey is deserved. He deserves to get every bit and to do all of the taunting he wants towards those nasty Knicks fans.
Hope these New York fans find their way to the exit real, real quick.
Trey, don't worry. When they're losing, they normally exit pretty quickly. It's almost like, as Wes Durham would say, there's a sale going on across the street.
Didn't mean to get you on the hate train, but I do also want to agree with you at least on one thing, which is the beard. Listening to him say that with the beard,
yeah,
as the
feels
kids
different.
Say, his villain origin story, it is this season.
You can say it. Bearded Trey is the morning shift's favorite Trey.
Yeah, I agree with it. And look, I think this was, let's not look past, I think it's important to highlight Trey. I think it's important to highlight Zachary Richey. But as a team, guys, the Hawks were 8-point underdogs after losing to 30 on Monday against the Celtics. It looked like this was a team that was spiraling. As a matter of fact, they were down by 5 with about 3 minutes left in the game. And you think, oh, here we go again. This was a bad matchup for the Hawks. This is the best 3-point shooting team in the NBA and the New York Knicks, and the worst team at defending the 3-point shot in the Atlanta Hawks after 8 games in the season. And they still connected on a ton. When you look at it, when you look at what the Knicks were able to do, 46, almost 47% of their 3-point attempts went home. It was crazy to take that away from it and go, well, the Hawks played better down the stretch and ended up with a 5-point victory after being 8-point underdogs.
Well, the Hawks' big three performed. 79 points from Trey, Richey, and Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
32 rebounds, 20 assists. I mean, the stat line that Tiffany read to you about Risha Shea is that he didn't put up a stat. He did not put up a stat in any category. Blocks, steals, assists. He was all over the place. That's why the kid was the number one overall draft pick. It's going to take a little bit of time for him, but right now, the future, and I don't even mean 2024-25 season, but the future moving forward does look pretty good for this team. DeAndre Hunter, good luck ever finding the starting lineup again.
Well, he's going to have a role in this team. He needs to have a role. This team needs to find depth because I think we talked about it yesterday, the day before. Jalen Johnson and Trae Young have played more minutes before this game, at least, than anybody else in the NBA. In terms of the rotational minutes. So I think that's something when you keep an eye on this Hawks team moving forward is that you have to start getting more depth at certain positions. You have to get, you know, Bogey back and some of the other players that allow you to do some different things and make sure you move pieces around. Also, can we just highlight Dyson Daniels for a minute? Because he has been a guy that has stepped up. He is a bigger body. He is, to me, he and Zachary Risa-Shea have changed what this team is able to do on defense. And like I said, it's not like these teams are not knocking down jumpers, and you know. But when you look at what it's essentially, you know how we went into the Cowboys game, Bo, and we were like, CeeDee Lamb's just going to get his, but can you limit everybody else? Like, you knew the Knicks were going to knock down threes from all over the court. Could you limit everything else? And that's exactly the Hawks' path to victory last night, was limiting what you were able to do in other areas. And Dyson Daniels, Zachary Risa-Shea, having the length they have around a smaller guard like Trae Young, I think kind of opens up what this team is able to do offensively and defensively. I think that it's a really good sign moving forward, to your point. This team is still 4-5, but when healthy and when they have all their pieces, I think this could be a team that makes a nice run, has one of those stretches where they win 8 of 10 and kind of jumps up and surprises some teams the way they did last night. All right, we need to hit a mic'd up.
Martin Truex Jr., 12 years in the Cup Series, and his roller coaster career is finally reaching the peak. Putting an exclamation point on a near perfect season. Mark Truex Jr. is the Boxster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Guys, if I get choked up here, I would like to go ahead and apologize in advance. 20 years ago, Martin Truex Jr. made his NASCAR Cup debut down the street at Atlanta Motor Speedway in the NBNA 500. That was in 2004. A year later, he becomes a full-time driver for Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. And he never looked back, the 2017 NASCAR Cup champion. Yeah. And this Sunday,
You left out an important part of his history.
What's that?
2007, he was arrested for peeing in public. Is that what it while was? Intoxicated.
I thought you were going to say, you know, two-time Busch Series champion, whatever it may be.
That's my favorite stat of him, though. Yeah. That's a shame. Good dude, man.
The guy's a future Hall of Famer in NASCAR, and yet that's the one you come up with, my friend. Nonetheless, man, he's got 34 Cup wins over the years. He's got 289 top tens, 24 poles, and one of the greatest race car drivers of all time. And a guy I have rooted for now 10 years when I jumped on with him after my NFL career was over. It's going to be a sad Sunday for me, man. He's hanging them up after this weekend. I am looking forward to the next chapter. He has not been very good of late, just be honest. But looking forward to the next chapter and what he's able to do. And also, look, I got to pick a new driver at some point. So that's going to be kind of fun. I think we're going to do bracket style. Me and Bo talked about it. We're going to do bracket style in terms of picking out a new driver for me. But sad Sunday nonetheless. And you remember, too, his first ever time in the Cup Series was when Dale Earnhardt Jr. got the burns and he had to climb in middle of the race because Dale Earnhardt Jr. had the bad burns. He just climbed through the window and hopped in. He was number 78. Guys, my groomsman cake was Martin Truex's race car. That's a true stat. And I know that Tiffany's judging me right now. Don't care.
No, I just learned about the NASCAR.
Yeah, you're judging.
I'm not judging.
Truex is one of the good guys. He's a lot of people know the story about his ex-girlfriend, Sherry Pollux, mm-hmm. who battled cancer for years with Martin along her side. And so the human being is he's one of the more low key good human beings because you just don't he just stays under the radar so you don't hear good or bad about him but I can say he is one of the better human beings in the sport.
I'm glad you brought that up because 10 years ago when I was getting back into the sport of NASCAR and I was trying to figure out who I was going to root for. Obviously my football number in college was 78. I was drawn to Martin Truex Jr. One of the first things I did I went to the Players Tribune. He wrote an article about his girlfriend at the time, Sherry Pollux. having ovarian cancer and being diagnosed and how they were dealing with that. And she was, I think they were, they dated, I say girlfriend, they dated like 15 years or something like that before she passed away, unfortunately, over a year ago. So that drew me even more into him. Joe Gibbs, obviously, you know, the NFL Hall of Famer, the NASCAR Hall of Famer, Joe Gibbs is his car owner right now. Their relationship has been well documented over the years. Just a good dude, man. And now the switch continues for who I'll be rooting for next year. You like that, Bobby Boucher? The switch continues.
Well, I mean,
did you ever find that gorilla who punched you in the eye? The switch continues.
The 12-team. I'll speak for the 12-team fan base, Ryan Blaney fan base. We are more than we'll more than welcome you in, but if you don't pull for them this weekend to win the championship, you can just you will not be welcome with open arms.
It ain't gonna be Ryan Blaney, but I can tell you.
Well, no. Oh, no, it is. He's gonna be the 2-time champ after Sunday.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Anyways,
you'll be clamoring to be a part.
Hopefully, the Falcons can pull off a win, because if not, I'll be shedding double tears on Sunday night when Martin Truex hangs him up. Man, hangs him up for good. Shout out to
cars racing. Woo! I'm just kidding. It's like what my girlfriends will say, sports. Don't follow sports. But no, that was a good mic'd up. Hopefully you are fulfilled after this weekend.
It's a good word.
Like we will be when we come back, because Rusty Manziel, he's on his phone right now. He's texting sources, trying to get us the latest on the college football front. He will have that for us when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, this hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart. Lasting, clean. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.